Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Marcia Joyner, TS radio host of Betrayed by Hospice, where we talk candidly about what hospice has become, which is no longer a compassionate service. Hospice was created to minimize pain for those who had an incurable disease that could no longer be treated with medications. It was to help with a natural death, not to hasten a person's death because someone determines that person's life is no longer worth living, or they use resources that could better be used on someone else. When you say that someone died while in hospice, people say, "I'm sorry," and immediately think it must have been their time. This may have been true decades ago, but that is not the case today. Today, hospice actively looks for patients to enroll because it has become a huge profitable business where many benefit financially when your loved one dies, and they are not beneath hastening that process. Hospice calls it comfort care, which often involves sedating patients to unconsciousness to prevent them from experiencing the pain of thirst and hunger as they die of dehydration that they cause. We call it what it is, stealth euthanasia, or premeditated murder. Drugs commonly used are morphine, Ativan, Seroquel, Haldol, and fentanyl, to name a few. But let me be clear. If you gave these drugs to a young, strong, and healthy person in the amounts, combination, and duration that they are giving to them to our loved ones, that person would die. So it isn't a natural death, nor is it in its time. It's murder, and apparently it is condoned. This past Saturday, June the 20th, marked the third anniversary of my mom's murder by hospice. This is the reason I do these shows and advocate for the elderly. After her death, it took me 6 months to find out that her case was not unique. That's when I found our guest speaker tonight, Ron Panzer, who founded Hospice Patient Alliance in 1998 and has been warning people about stealth euthanasia since that time. Our loved ones are being euthanized right in front of us because we have become so conditioned to accept what hospice and the medical profession tells us. We didn't question what they said, and even when we knew something was wrong and started to question, we were manipulated by their silver-tongued lies. Today, it's a new day. And those of us who have witnessed this horror firsthand will no longer be sheep led to the wolves. We will warn others. On many previous talk shows, my guest and I have talked about specifics of hospice care, drugs, money motivation, and other important information. You can hear those archived shows at blogtalkradio.com/Marty-Oakley. Look for Betrayed by Hospice. Tonight's show will briefly discuss hospice, but is more focused on what is happening with COVID-19 in general and at nursing homes. We are giving you the unbiased truth. Our guest tonight is Ron Panzer, who is a nurse, a graduate of Syracuse University, and has served as an expert consultant on hospice for thousands of families, patients, and staff from all over the nation. He has been interviewed on various radio shows, and he speaks at conferences. He has authored several books, including Our Family Guide to Hospice Care, Stealth Euthanasia, Health Care Tyranny in America, and Restoring the Culture of Life. Hospice Patients Alliance mission is to promote excellence in the end-of-life care that relieves suffering at the end of life while allowing a natural death in its own timing. The website, hospicepatients.org, has volumes of information on hospice reality, victim stories, what to expect from hospice, and more. His book, Stealth Euthanasia, is offered as a free download because it's important to Ron for others to know the truth and try to save anybody's life. It may be your loved one's life, or it could be yours that is saved because you are armed with the knowledge. Ron, we're honored to have you tonight as our speaker. I want to give you a few minutes to briefly talk to us about how you started Hospice Patient Alliance and how you've been spreading the word and what they are doing to help the elderly and their families before we move on.
Well, hi. Thank you for having me. Well, in 1996 and 7, I was involved with the Hospice of Michigan, a large hospice all across Michigan, and there was actual Medicare fraud going on and manipulation of patients so that they were forced into facilities against their will so the hospice could collect room and board fees as well as treating the patients, and I became a whistleblower about the several violations of the standards of care. And I was encouraged by actually the medical director of the hospice in West Michigan to start Hospice Patients Alliance, and several other people encouraged me. The families were devastated by what was being done to them, and I did see situations where some patients would have been killed if not for some vigilant nurses who caught what was claimed to be errors, but actually were intended murders, like increasing the dosage. Sometimes the morphine is given IV in some cases, and they have cassettes, and the standard solution would be 20 milligrams per milliliter. And one of these guys, he was an RN, we call him a closer. He put a cassette that was 50 milligrams per milliliter, which is more than twice the dosage. It would have killed this young woman who was dying of a rare type of cancer. And we caught that error, and she lived for several months after that. But the complaints just keep coming in from families, and even sometimes for the patients themselves will call me and say, they're killing me. They took away my medications, my heart medication or whatever. And this is not hospice, the authentic mission. You don't take away the medications when they're still helpful in the early stages of an illness, end stage illness. And so there are many techniques that are used to hasten death, and we've been working with the families so they know what's being done and to recognize the red flags that come up. Because most people, they understand something doesn't feel right, but they are intimidated by the staff who have all the right lines to tell them, no, don't trust your instincts, just trust us. And then before you know it, their loved one is dead. And even though the doctor said, oh, well, death is not expected right away, maybe 6 months, who knows. And then they're dead in 1 week or 2 weeks, and the family just doesn't understand what happened. And they think about it, and then they say, I think they killed my mother or my husband or someone in their family, and they're just devastated.
Well, hospice staff are really good at manipulating the families because they don't understand what's going on and they accept what they're being told.
Right. Well, even we've had physicians and registered nurses call us whose own family members have been killed in hospice because they trusted the other people in the white coats. So even though people are medically trained physicians with many years of experience, they still can be fooled and lied to. They just don't believe that they could be lied to. And so they trust. How could people lie so thoroughly, so consistently, you know, one thing after another, and not just one person, but several people, and then it becomes overwhelming. Oh, well, they must know what they're talking about. This is their field. But the hospice movement was infiltrated by the euthanasia movement and actually invited in and brought in. And so the euthanasia advocates are actually training the trainers of the staff in the hospices throughout the country and also in Europe and some other countries. And basically there's a civil war or a battle going on behind the scenes between those who are faithful to the original hospice mission and those who have tainted it and perverted it to impose death or medically murder patients. So when people are trusting the hospice, in 90, 95, 99% of the cases, these are not people who even really know the original mission. They're not trained in it. And they, many of them actually believe that they're doing good because they are utilitarians. They are secular. They do not believe in the sanctity of life. They do not believe God creates life. And so they believe that by ending life, they are relieving the patient of suffering. And by ending life, they are reducing the cost to our healthcare system and our budget. So they believe they're doing good for society by killing the patient. And that's what they think inside within themselves. But they don't tell the family that that's what they're doing. They pretend that they're doing what the original hospice people did, which was to provide life-affirming care, relieve suffering without imposing a coma or overdosing or yanking the medications away and destabilizing the patient. They do all these things to hasten death, and they tell the family, oh, they're near, your loved one is nearing death, see? And they'll point to the signs of active phase of dying that are duplicated because they're killing the patient. The
Exactly.
Blood pressure drops, the heartbeat may slow down or get very fast. The breathing rate may get very slow and stop periodically with apnea, or it may get very fast, all kinds of changes. And when the patient dehydrates, then the urine changes color, and they'll say, oh, the kidneys are failing. Well, it's because they sedated the patient, and they're not getting any food and water.
Exactly.
So what we're witnessing today is an expansion of the stealth euthanasia or hidden, undeclared medical killing. It's actually spread into the entire healthcare system. All nurses and doctors have to be educated into palliative care, which is a medical specialty. Hospice is a mode or a model of care. So you have an agency that's a hospice agency set up with several different professional fields. You have the doctor, you have the nurses, the nurse aides. It's supposed to have therapists, speech, physical therapy, occupational therapy, dietitian, and pharmacy. They often don't have all of that. They just have the nurse mostly and maybe some aid visits. But they're paid to provide the full range of service. And what happens is they pretend to be offering all these services. They lure the patient, the family in by promising many services. And then once the patient is admitted, they, you know, like it's bait and switch. They promise many services and then don't deliver those. And anyway, the this type of tainted end-of-life care or palliative care at the end of life is brought into the medical schools and the nursing schools and all the other health professions. They're all educated in a secularized, tainted form of providing treatment or care. And I don't like to use the word care because they're not caring.
No.
They're treating in a way that imposes or manipulates death. And they do it in such a way that the family may think, oh, the patient's so peaceful because they're sedated, then it was a peaceful death. But it was an imposed death. It was murder right in front of you. The patient sleeps into death, and the family is sometimes deceived. Sometimes they recognize what's going on.
Well, and I don't think it's peaceful. I watched my mother be murdered, and there was nothing peaceful about it. Nothing. Nothing.
Well, some families buy into that. You
mm-hmm.
recognize what was going on, but some families are fooled. And this kind of treatment's utilitarian worldview that has spread throughout the healthcare system since the late 1970s, most of the doctors don't take, you know, the oath, the Hippocratic oath to do no harm. They don't believe in sanctity of life. And now with the COVID-19 conditions spread around the world, the pandemic is used as an excuse to put patients into hospice or palliative care units in the hospitals. So I got a call just the other day from a nurse in Miami, in Florida, at one of the major hospitals. And she was very upset, extremely upset. And she was telling me that the patients are being killed. She gave one example of an elderly man. He had a little stroke, a TIA, but he could eat and drink and talk and walk. Basically, it was very mild, and he had tested positive for the coronavirus. So they put him into the hospital, into the COVID unit, which was just a few beds of the hospital, palliative care bed, but she was a med-surg nurse. And, you know, regular acute care nurse. And the doctor ordered the patient to be NPO, nothing by mouth. So that means you can't give him anything to drink and nothing to eat. But he was not really sick at all. He was in the hospital because he just had a test. You know, the tests that they're doing are PCR tests that the scientists tell us. Well, the inventors of that test said it should never be used for diagnostic, but they're using it to diagnose. Every night on the news, we hear, oh, there's some 100,000, 200,000 cases or 50,000 cases. And what does that mean? We don't know what it means because it could mean you had a coronavirus from 5 years ago and you have antibodies, or when they say you're testing positive, there are many false positives and there are many different tests. They haven't been verified. So just because someone tests positive for the virus, supposedly, or someone tests as if they have antibodies, none of that is guaranteed to be accurate. Anyway, this patient was in the hospital because he had tested positive. Somehow he got tested, and that was a death sentence for him because the doctor ordered nothing by mouth, nothing given for food. And he was saying, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, over and over. And the nurse was telling me, she's just horrified. Why is this patient NPO, nothing by mouth? And they said, doctor's orders, you know, the other nurses. And everyone just goes along with it. And then eventually the patient dies. And that's what's going on in some of the hospitals. Now, it's not happening in all the hospitals. I have a family member who works in one of the other hospitals in one of the hot spots up in the Northeast. And that nurse has told me, yes, they are trying to save them. And in many cases, they are. And on our COVID-19 page on our website, we have reports from nurses. There's some videos there of nurses who are ICU nurses who also report that patients are being killed. And some nurses, they're saying, well, in my other hospital where I work, they weren't killing patients and we were saving almost all of them, but they came to volunteer in New York, both of these nurses, and those videos are on our site.
Can you tell people how to get to that?
Yeah, in the upper left-hand corner of our main homepage, hospicepatients.org, there's a link. It just says COVID-19. You can find it very easily in the drop-down box, the upper left-hand corner.
Okay.
And
that's
we have a
hospicepatients.org. It's all together.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have a ton of information on that page. If you read what's on that page and look at the videos, you'll know everything that the media is not telling you. You'll know what's really going on. And I encourage the people who are listening to copy, download every document and download every video and send it to everybody you know, because almost everything you hear on the news distorted or a lie outright. The COVID-19 or the SARS coronavirus, it's a real virus. We know that there are even young people who are dying, and the symptoms are very different from the flu. Sometimes they have severe damage to their kidneys, their lungs, their heart, they even bowel damage to their parts of their intestine. This is not the flu, and it is something different. But other people are saying, even people who in alternative media are saying, oh, it's all fake, it's all a hoax. Well, it's not all a hoax. This thing was bioengineered. We have the documents, the research that was done on our COVID-19 page. You can see the research over two decades that was done, how they manipulated viruses and grew viruses, bat coronavirus in different media, and obtained what's called gain of function for the virus so that it would infect a human being when it normally would not. And that was done. You can see it. You can see the research. And so to say that it's all a hoax is not true. I know there are people who argue with me, and they'll say, well, the flu deaths have gone down. And I have an explanation for that. What they're missing, there are even some physicians who are saying it's all a hoax because the death rates have not gone up significantly from what would normally happen with the flu and so on. What's happening is that this coronavirus is killing off those who would normally be killed by the flu. Okay, so it's not that it's increasing the number drastically. And the actual number of deaths for the pandemic, I do want to talk about that. The actual number of deaths is not a huge number. You know, the Black Death in the 1300s was over 200 million people at the time. You're talking huge, huge percentages of the population, you know, maybe half the people or more than half of the people in a town would all die, you know, or 60, 80% of the people would die. And you had the Spanish flu, the famous 1918 Spanish flu, maybe 40 to 50 million worldwide. And in the 1800s, there was something called the 18th century plague, 600,000. And even when we were younger, in 1968, there was the Hong Kong flu, 1 million. Globally, the cholera outbreak in 1917, 1 million. So we're, in the 200 to 300,000, you know, maybe it'll be 350,000 or 400,000 tops, you know, for this year globally. But you've had millions and millions of people dying from other infections that were global, and they didn't shut down, they didn't lock down the, you know, the entire world economy. And much of the harm that's happening is because you have infected patients with something. There's something real, because they send them into the nursing homes, and then many of the nursing home patients come down with symptoms. So it's not all bogus. And then they send them into the hospital. And the problem is, in some hospitals, they don't provide treatment that helps them. They work with ventilators that are set basically the same for all the patients. Now, I work with patients that are on ventilators all the time. And the setup, most people, you have no idea. You just look on TV and you see the ventilator and you think, oh, they're all the same. You just turn it on. That's not the way it is. The length of the tubing, how the tubing is set up, all the different parts of the circuit that goes from the ventilator to the patient is all different for every patient. And the pressure is different for every patient, depending on their lung size. So there are so many different settings, and there are different modes of how the ventilator works. Sometimes it will be set as what's called assist control, which is forcing a ventilation every certain number of seconds, and it's controlled by the ventilator. But they may have other modes of ventilation where it will be triggered by the patient starting to take a breath in, and then the ventilator assists, and the rate is guided or controlled by the patient. But if they put the COVID-19 patients on all the same settings, they may blow out the lungs, the alveoli, those little sacs inside the lungs where the oxygen is exchanged, by having such a high pressure. And this is what the nurses are reporting in the ICUs and COVID-19 units or beds in the hospitals, that they just run the circuit into the patient and they're not monitoring them. They don't go in. And when you have someone who's on a ventilator, you actually need to suction, because they can't cough up. You know, we cough and clear our throats constantly, but when someone's on a ventilator, they can't cough the same way. And so the nurse becomes the person, and this is what I do and other nurses do. We suction to clear the airway. We may give nebulizer treatments to open up the bronchioles, the airways, and there are many different things that can be done, and it's very individual. But so what they're doing is all the same for many in the hospitals where they are not providing care. So they're actually hastening death, and almost all of the patients in certain hospital units are dying. In other hospitals, almost all the patients are living because they're treating them properly. It's unbelievable.
Right. So since the blowing up the lung part, have they learned from that so that they've quit doing that, or are they still just ignorantly continuing to use the same method? And the thing they do that with hospice. I mean, they use the same drugs for everybody, and it is a one-size-fits-all. So have they learned anything?
Well, the problem is it's very clear from what the nurses have told me, and you can watch the videos yourself, that sometimes they'll put nurses in from other floors that are not used to working with a ventilator. I've worked with ventilator patients for decades. And you don't do it by sight. You're suctioning. You suction by touch. You can feel the secretions in the catheter, you know, the catheters going down into the airway. You can feel the secretions, or you can hear where the secretions are, and you will stop at a certain point to get those secretions to clear them. But what will happen is people who are not trained properly, they may just force that catheter all the way down, and then the catheter is sucking on part of the inner bronchiole and causing damage because you have, you're sucking against tissue, which is not what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there are all different things that are, you have people who are untrained providing care if they are suctioning, and sometimes they're not. But the other thing is maybe using high pressure oxygen. Sometimes they're not providing oxygen when they should be. They're not providing vitamin C and D, which have been shown that almost all of the people dying from COVID-19, the studies show, have a vitamin D deficiency. So one of the first things the doctors say to do, those doctors who care, are saying we should be administering vitamin D as a preventive and also part of a treatment. The same thing with vitamin C. And the whole controversy with hydroxychloroquine. The thing about hydroxychloroquine and scientific medical research is that in a culture of death, you don't have what would be authentic science. So just as we don't have authentic hospice care in terms of life-affirming care that never hastens death, the scientific studies that are done, normally you would say we would want a double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized study. So you give the hydroxychloroquine to one group, and the group is just the same type of patient as the other group, and then see what happens and which group does better. Well, what happened, there was a study at the Veterans Administration a couple of months ago, and it was widely cited that hydroxychloroquine was actually harmful. And I looked at the data, this figure 2 in the actual data of the study, and the patients in the group for hydroxychloroquine were much sicker. They were they were more obese. Okay, they had higher blood pressure, and their breathing rates were faster. And you had all the signs of sicker patients in those who were given the hydroxychloroquine at the Veterans Administration study. Anyone can look that up, and they can prove it by looking at figure 2 and comparing the groups. And they also, they didn't give the zinc with that. The hydroxychloroquine is what the scientists tell us is a zinc ionophore, which means it helps to bring zinc into the cell, and which helps prevent the virus from replicating. And that's how it's very effective in the early stages. It's not as effective in the end stage when someone's already got tissue damage of the heart and the lungs and the kidneys and so on. So
these people that they tried that with probably had the disease longer and had more acute symptoms. And as you said, you know, they may have been more prone to the disease anyway. But then they didn't give it with the zinc, so they weren't. I mean, are they trying to disprove that it works, or
yes,
is this
just ignorant? That's my point. That's my point. The culture of death means deception. My last book is called Radical Deception and the Cultures of Death. So you have radical, there's different kinds of radicals, and certain radicals are leftists or communists, people trying to undo and basically negate the constitutional freedoms that we enjoy in the United States and the rights in other countries. There's an actual ongoing pre-revolution going on right now. But what's happening is the pandemic is being used as an excuse to impose the more authoritarian government. It's a global COVID coup. So they have to prevent any cure from being acknowledged or recognized and used. On our COVID-19 page, we have testimony from at least 3 or 4, maybe even 5 different doctors saying that they have experienced the hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, zinc combination to be over 90% effective in the early stages, which means you don't need a vaccine, you don't need a lockdown. And there are doctors in New York and elsewhere, you know, family doctors, when someone would be sick, they would call the doctor, and they were giving hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc, and curing 100% of their patients. That's what they are experiencing. But then some scientists will say, oh, well, it's not proved. There's no double-blind study. Well, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, it's big chemical companies created the pharmaceutical companies. And the big chemical companies came out of the oil industry, big oil. And on our page, we have an explanation of how big oil became the big pharma. There's a couple of videos about that. And if people watch those, they're from the Corbett Report, How Big Oil Conquered the World. And basically, you're creating ultra elite wealthy people that are, you know, similar to the Bill Gates kind of wealth, billions and billions of dollars of wealth. And these families, they created big pharma, and using the political pressure, they destroyed what we would call is complementary and alternative methods of healing, natural healing, herbal healing. They basically say anything herbal or anything natural is either worthless and harmless, you know, that it doesn't do anything, or it's harmful. And yet, at the same time, the drugs that they prescribe from petrochemical and big pharma, many of them have thousands and thousands of people dying or having autoimmune diseases created or liver damage, kidney damage. You know, everything on TV, you have all these ads saying take this drug, but you might have liver damage, you know, if you have a sign of, you know, liver damage or kidney or allergic reaction, contact your doctor. Because obviously there's real people out there who are permanently harmed by these drugs. So
absolutely.
So what's happened is it's a political pressure that has been brought to monopolize healthcare. And
well,
many people – go ahead.
Well, didn't they even have one of the or a couple of the doctors were told by the pharmacy that they would not give them the hydroxychloroquine, that they said you can't prescribe it for that, and they were getting in trouble. And one of them actually had to go to, I don't know if it was a governor or Congress or somebody, she had to go high up to get them to allow her to give it to her patients because they are trying to keep the patients from getting it.
Yeah, Dr. Lozano. But what happened is the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, they're filled with industry people who have allegiance to their own industry, big pharma, and not to the people and necessarily what's best. Of course, we're supposed to believe that the government cares about the people and they're always doing the best for the people. But that's part of this culture of death, the deception. Everything in a culture of death involves deception. It doesn't mean they lie about everything. Just like in hospice, they don't lie about everything, but they mix untruth with truth so that you're deceived and misled in different ways. So the hydroxychloroquine, the Veterans Administration study, they rigged that so the sicker people were given the hydroxychloroquine so they could condemn it. And then there was a Brazil study where they doubled the dose. And when you double the dose, then you get the adverse effects. You're supposed to give it in a certain amount. Any medication should be given at the right dose. Well, they doubled the dose. And the thing about this is the Tropical Institute in Brazil, a medical institute in Brazil that did that study, and that's the name of the institute, those doctors are experts in using hydroxychloroquine because they have malaria down there. They've used it for decades. Several decades. And they, in this case, for the study for COVID-19, they used a dose that was much higher than normal. And then they got adverse effects and said, oh, there's another study. And then there was another study in The Lancet, one of the most prestigious medical journals in the world, Lancet from the United Kingdom. And they published this saying it was harmful, it didn't have any benefit. And then after a while, some physician researchers were looking to say, well, where's the data that backs up the study from The Lancet? And they found out that the study was actually fabricated. And this is The Lancet. And the study was retracted as a great embarrassment to The Lancet publishers. And we have a video on our COVID-19 page of the former French health minister reveals that he was in on a private meeting with the publisher, editors of the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet. And these editors of those two journals admitted, they said clearly that the political pressure from the pharmaceutical industry is so strong that they don't believe that they can publish accurate articles unless they are in favor of what Big Pharma is pushing. So in other words, the medical journals themselves have been corrupted. And science, you know, when someone goes to, you have the graduate schools and you have the scientists at the universities and they get grants for doing scientific research. Mm-hmm. Well, only the grants are given to them if they do the research that the government wants done or the results that they want. But if you do a study that gives a different result, then you're not going to get a grant again. You'll be blacklisted and you won't be a scientist anymore because nobody's going to fund you. And
well, it's kind of like on Facebook, we can post things out there, which, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, your newsletter has an excellent information on COVID that you're, you know, kind of doing daily. And I've posted some of those out on Facebook and they get flagged. And they
right.
say, well, that's not, you know, that's partially false data, and they
right.
remove the content. They don't
right.
want us to know the truth.
Right,
and
that's why we have
on your site, you have
right.
all of these documents, all of these
right.
videos, and they can't
right.
take it down. So
right, because it's on our website.
Blocked. Exactly.
Right. So listeners should go to the website, copy the documents. They're not our documents. These are documents from the Rockefeller Foundation, the Corbett Report, the World Economic Forum, many different organizations around the world. We have copied them and put them on our website because we are afraid that the public would not get access to them in the future, or to make sure that they can get this information all in one place and watch the videos of some scientists, physicians and nurses who basically have risked their careers to
mm-hmm.
speak the truth. As far as the hydroxychloroquine, again, there's more than one cardiologist. We have a video of a cardiologist saying it's safe, and we also have a document, a letter from a Dr. Grenzer in Maryland, who said he looked very carefully at this, and the whole idea that hydroxychloroquine is a big risk for cardiac arrhythmias is a hoax. There is a risk, but that's something that your own doctor would look at. Most people, given the regular dose, would not have a harmful
anything adverse.
Effect.
Right.
Yeah, most people would not.
Can I go back to, because we have a new group that I recently joined, Voices for Citizens. Voices for Seniors. And there are a lot of people on that group that have lost loved ones in the nursing facilities, a lot of them from New York City. And
right.
when the governor sent the COVID-positive people to the nursing homes, they had to have known that those people were the most vulnerable. And then I read that hospice had come in and was offering their help because they knew that they were overwhelmed and they could come in and they could help. Anytime you hear the word hospice is going to come in and help, those
right.
people went in there and euthanized
yep.
a lot of those poor, vulnerable people that were in the nursing homes. Their families
right.
don't even realize that because they couldn't be there with them. And
right.
if they did toxicology reports on all of those elder people, I would
right.
imagine that there is a high percentage of them that have the same drugs that I mentioned earlier in their system. They euthanized
yeah.
them because it was easier. They didn't have them on ventilators. They didn't send them to the
right.
hospital. They came
mm-hmm.
in. They euthanized those people.
Well, they didn't treat them with hydroxychloroquine, zinc, azithromycin, and vitamin C and vitamin D. They didn't help them.
And they didn't hydrate them.
Yes. So, yes, and not all of them were asymptomatic. Some of them actually were sick. Even, you know how you can know this is not a hoax. You have nursing staff that got sick. Some of the nursing staff have died. So it's not a total hoax. There is something, coronavirus, it's a real thing. But they have to provide care when people are sick, not kill them. And all of this is part of a great deception because the numbers, like we said, are not a huge, you know, percentage of the population that are dying. 80% hardly either have no symptoms or very mild symptoms. And of the 20%, most of them recover. And it's a very small percentage that actually die of the total people who are infected, and it's widespread in the community, and it's being used to create basically a global coup. And I want your listeners to understand, because they're not many people, they may read what people are writing and warning about, and I wrote about all of this in this book, Radical Deception and the Cultures of Death. It's on the website. This is about the complete destruction of the way of life that you have known. Now, you may think I'm a kook, or all the other people who are talking this way are kooks, because it sounds so crazy. It sounds so unbelievable. But when the Nazis came in to parts of Eastern Europe, they, at first, in some places, they rolled in with their tanks and so on. And obviously, that was a war in Poland and so on. But in other areas, they came in on their jeeps and they were friendly to the people and they got to know the people. And several weeks went by and everyone thought everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, then they rounded up the people and sent certain people, the Jews, the gypsies, and anyone who resisted the Nazis, they sent them off to the work camps and some to the death camps. So the idea that you can have a sudden change, even though right now people are taking care of their yards, they're gardening, they're shopping, they're going to work, and some are still locked down. But what's happening with the lockdowns, first of all, it's not justified, because we've had worse pandemics, worse flus in terms of number of deaths, and they never locked us down. So why are they locking us down? The plan has been published by the Rockefeller Foundation, the World Economic Forum, the United Nations. You can go to the United Nations Agenda 2030. It used to be Agenda 21. You may have heard of that. Agenda 2030, sustainable development. Everyone's talking about you must have sustainable economic activity, but these are all phrases, euphemisms for a complete global socialist system which denies the human rights of people, and it's a top-down elitist government takeover. So the lockdowns, what is happening? You know, if we look at the words or listen to the words that the leaders are speaking, well, then you're going to be deceived, but you have to look at the actions and what's the reality. The reality is when you continue the lockdowns, the small businesses are basically being devastated, which means the middle class is being destroyed. around the world, not just in the United States. People have to understand this is not just in the United States. It's all over in every single country in the world right now. You can go to any country's website or news site, and they're talking about this. This is coming from a global conspiracy, but it's an open conspiracy because they openly tell us, Bill Gates and others, they tell us what they're doing. They are resetting. It's called, the World Economic Forum calls it the Great Reset. And what they want to do is change the economies of the world from, say, we have capitalism, we have some regulation of business, but you have free market capitalism to some extent. And people, if they work hard, they can move ahead financially. They want to change all of that. They want what's called stakeholder capitalism. And the stakeholders are the ultra-elite people like Bill Gates. They are the people who own the big pharmaceutical companies, the big oil companies, the big agricultural, Monsanto. These companies are so big, they want to control how people live all around the world. And the lockdowns are destroying the middle class and the people who work for these small businesses. Many of these businesses will never come back, even though there is some recovery. So many have been hurt financially or used up their savings to survive. But then if it continues, some of the governors are saying, we're going to, oh, there's a spike in cases, so we're going to start the lockdowns again. Well, the leftist governors are trying to destroy the middle class because socialism can only exist when you have the basically everybody's treated equally, everyone's poor, and then you have the ultra elite who, you know, they live high on the hog and they have all the wealth.
And they eat special ice cream.
Yes, they eat special ice cream.
Right.
But like in Michigan, we had the governor's husband. Everyone was locked down, and no one was supposed to travel to the northern Michigan for vacation. But the governor's husband called up the marina and said, can you put our boat in early? And there were many people ahead on the, you know, in the line, and the marina person said, no, there's a big line. And so he said, well, would it help if I said I'm the governor's husband? And the marina person said, no, actually, we'll put you to the end of the line. They were so upset with the governor.
He,
is so detested by anybody who has a small business. But a lot of people are believing what they're hearing on the media, in the TV. You know, they call it TV programming. We're all being programmed. We're all being taught to think a certain way. And on our website, there's a video. It talks about how we're being programmed. And Bill Gates had a TED Talk, and it was called Innovating to Zero in 2010. He admits that he wants to reduce the population of the world. And at the same time, he says he wants to improve the health through vaccines. But all of this coronavirus, COVID-19 scare is being used by the media to get us all used to the idea of what's called the new normal, that we're not going to go back to our regular constitutional rights. And, well, if that happens, you have just destroyed the American way of life.
Exactly. Well, and then you're allowing people to have love fest, you know, and take over the streets, and that is further ending people's livelihoods and their little businesses. That's taking that away from them because they're being destroyed. So if they weren't destroyed financially before, they're being burned down and physically destroyed. I wanted to go to something you just were talking about with the vaccines, so I don't want to lose time on this. But DOD had published a report, said that last year's flu vaccine had 4 strains of coronavirus in it.
Right.
And you know, the elderly and in the nursing homes, one of the things they do is insist that the elderly get those vaccines.
Right,
so
they all get them.
They vaccinated them and they gave them the antibodies for the coronavirus. So it's likely, understandably, that they're all going to test positive for it because they gave them the flu virus last year, which had coronavirus in it. I get that this is COVID-19, but the coronavirus has been around for a long time, just not this strain, right?
There's different strains of the coronavirus, a few that infect humans. The main thing that people need to know about the flu vaccine is that and of course there are some doctors, the standard line of thinking, they disagree vehemently with me, but they will admit that sometimes they get the strain wrong, and you know, they try to predict what kind of flu is going to come through this year, and sometimes they get that wrong, so then it's not effective. But even if they get the strain correct for the flu vaccine, the research shows it may help maybe 10 to 15% of the people. Most people are not really helped a whole lot through the flu vaccine. And as far as COVID-19 goes and the flu vaccine, there is a study, and there's more than one study. There were a few studies that showed that people who did get that more recent flu vaccine, many of those were more likely to succumb to any coronavirus, and including the COVID-19 SARS coronavirus.
Exactly. Right.
So you could have a greater mortality because people got the flu vaccine. Of course, that's the opposite of what they're telling us, from the authorities. But there is research that says that, even out of Fort Detrick, on the military, they did some studies, and they said that some of the soldiers were more likely to get sick from coronavirus if they had the flu vaccine. It seems crazy, but that's the reality. The vaccines, you know, we could get into a long discussion of vaccines and whether they're good or not. There's basically a monopolization of medical care, and there are some doctors that are more open-minded. They use alternative methods as well as, you know, regular pharmaceutical drugs and so on, which benefit many people, but they also harm people. But the alternative therapies are also helpful, but there's an intolerance for them within what we call the medical mafia. It's unfortunate because basically for any disease, God has provided a cure from some of the herbs or plants or even metals and minerals. There are so many different things on earth that can help people, you know, whether garlic.
But there's not any money. There's not, you know, the big pharma can get money from that.
Right, right. So it's all about the money. But it's not just about the – I say it's all about the money. The power that these people have amassed for themselves is through the financial wealth that they have also created through various, sometimes criminal conspiracies. Or just take big oil, for example. They would put – other oil producers out of business, and the same thing in the pharmaceutical industry. If someone was curing people with a natural remedy, they would sick the FDA on them and say, you're using unauthorized medications, and therefore we're going to take away your medical license. And they would raid the doctor's office and take all their files and take all their medications and destroy the doctor who was, you know, actually getting a cure. The same thing has happened. We started talking about the hydroxychloroquine being authorized for emergency use in some hospitals for studies. The FDA recently withdrew the emergency use of hydroxychloroquine, making it even harder for people in the United States to get hydroxychloroquine, even though it is the cure. And I know there's some going to say, Ron, how can you say it's a cure? Because there's no double-blind study. But the answer is, in a corrupt system, you will never get the cure for this COVID-19 validated, because they cannot allow a cure to exist, because they need this to not have a cure except for the vaccine.
Right.
Because
right.
what they want to do is vaccinate everybody. And this will be under a mandatory vaccination scheme. You know, when the children go to school, they have mandatory vaccinations they have to have if they're allowed into the public school. And so most people can't pay for private school. So all the kids get vaccinated, even if some of the vaccines are quite harmful. And of course, yes, some of the vaccines, there are cases where vaccines, maybe with smallpox, they have eradicated pretty much smallpox around the world. But for certain other things, what they're doing is they give several vaccines to the newborn baby, the infant, in the early months, when an infant doesn't even have an immune system developed, and you're putting things in that are so foreign that you have genetic material from aborted fetal cells in there. You have formaldehyde. You have thimerosal in some, which is mercury. And in some, it's a neurological poison and affects the brain. So then you have neurological symptoms, and then there's the big debate about whether it causes autism or not. You know, mm-hmm. 50 years ago, autism was quite rare, and now you have 1 out of 100, 1 out of 50, in some countries, 1 out of 30 newborn babies have some kind of autism. It's unbelievable. They are destroying. Something is destroying the health of our newborns.
Exactly. And there's two things I was going to say. One of the things is a baby gets nutrients and gets a lot of the immunity from the mother's milk.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's one of the things that they shouldn't be doing that in the first place. And the other is, I think they're also going to create a situation. You were talking about mandatory vaccinations. Well, there are a lot of people in this country that have gotten smart to that, and they're anti-vaxxers. I'm an anti-vaxxer. I don't vaccinate my dogs, and I don't vaccinate us, and I'm certainly not vaccinating my 92-year-old dad. So it's going to cause dissension between, we already have it now, because we have people saying, well, if you don't vaccinate your child and I vaccinate mine, then mine goes to school, and then your child is going to come in and give my child COVID-19 or whatever.
Yes, but if they're vaccinated, then they shouldn't get it if the vaccine works. So the idea that the unvaccinated are going to infect the vaccinated proves the vaccine's not working. But I want to get to this point. People need to understand, and they are not taking this seriously. This is a global coup, okay? You see people who are rioting in the streets, not just in the United States. This is happening in Europe and other countries. And they are being allowed to riot, and the police are being told to stand down. And they are destroying businesses, which, again, destroys the middle class. And destroys the economic well-being of the country. When they say that certain people are doing essential jobs and others are non-essential, that's a lie. This is all part of deception. Everybody is essential. If you remove one group of people, even if they're not the police, the firemen, the nurses, the doctors, you know, maybe they're retail sales clerks or whatever, they are essential also. Everyone is essential. They're all part of the society. If you pull the rug out of one part of a, you know, let's say you have a rug that's woven and you pull one thread, you keep pulling, the whole rug comes undone, you know, if you keep pulling. And that's what they're doing. You're pulling a thread out of societal rug or the societal fabric. And people need to understand we're under what's called the emergency authorization, the declarations of national, state, and local emergencies. And what that does, people have no idea what is coming. When you have a declaration of a national or state emergency, you have FEMA involved, okay? So FEMA, you know, you think, well, when there's a hurricane and there's flooding, FEMA comes in to help the people, and the Red Cross comes in and you help relocate people and restore their lives. But FEMA is also authorized in a state of emergency to basically take over the functions of society. So under a declaration of emergency, under a health care scare like a pandemic, then let's say if 50% of us were dying, maybe it would be justified, okay, to say you're having a national emergency. But when the death rate is actually like a bad flu or equivalent to a flu, people can argue back and forth, but it's not worse than one of the bad flus, you know, from the late 60s. It's definitely not worse than that. And nobody locked the whole economy down. So this is deception, and we're being manipulated in order to create the more authoritarian form of government. The governors are not going to give back this power, okay? Most people think, oh, it's just because the election's coming up in November, and then everything will return to normal. Well, if I can tell you, if the left takes over, then they'll just welcome in the more authoritarian government, because that's what they believe in. But the problem is, even if President Trump wins on the national level and the Republicans get the House and the Senate, they have not said this is not an emergency. None of them are coming out and saying this is all a fraud. But this is all a fraud.
Well, you've got Fauci. Well, what's the deal with Fauci? Because he, you know, he's been there for several terms, but
right. He's
been involved with Bill Gates. And
yes.
So why is he still up there speaking? And I don't believe he's being protective and supportive of America. I believe he is part of this.
Yes. Well, if you hear some people, they said Fauci, he was wrong about so many things. He must be really dumb. No. This is a great misunderstanding, a terrible misunderstanding of what is going on. When you look at people, they are not as dumb as you think. Just like the Governor Cuomo in New York, the governor in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania, they sent the COVID-19 infected patients into the nursing home knowing that the elderly would die, which saves them a ton of money, and they could care less that those people died. They don't care. Just like they would abort the newborn baby on the table.
Right.
In New York, they legalized
In Virginia. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
They really don't care about sanctity of life. So Fauci is basically, from a Judeo-Christian point of view, a truly corrupt, dishonest scientist. He is a scientist. He's, you know, the head of the NIAID, National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases. And he got there, he was promoted after doing some really corrupt things that harmed Dr. Judy Mikovits. And we have videos on our webpage. She wrote a book called Plague and then Plague of Corruption. People need to read those books to understand who Dr. Fauci is, because he was involved with stealing the research. This is what was reported. Stealing research having to do with HIV, and Dr. Redfield and Burks were working at the Fort Detrick Army Research Institute years ago, and they were found to have falsified their research, and basically they were reprimanded. They were found guilty of falsifying the research by the military. And Birx was the co-author of some of that research that was falsified. And nobody's talking about that. So Fauci and Birx are they're not among the most honest people, to make an understatement. But the idea that they are involved with the COVID coup is very clear. Every so-called mistake that Fauci has made has allowed for the deception. And the the original deception was that everyone was going to die. Everyone is afraid, you know, everyone really was afraid that they were going to die. You, me, everyone, we might die. You know, originally, hundreds of millions were going to die. And Fauci, you know, at the very beginning, he said, oh, we don't have to worry, so you don't have to lock down. Well, what that allowed was for people to travel from China into the United States and spread the infection. Then later on, he says, oh, everybody's going to die. It's terrible. Then you need to lock down. Okay, well, the lockdown has never been used before like this. Normally you quarantine the sick and let other people go on with their lives.
Right.
In 1918, 1919, some cities did lock down for a few weeks or, you know, a month or so, but they didn't lock down forever, and they didn't lock down the whole country and destroy the economy of the, you know, the whole country. They never did that. This whole idea of locking down, the entire world has been locked down. You have to understand. Basically, locking down the whole global economy is basically creating an economic depression. And I'm not saying recession. I said a depression, like the Great Depression. We have not experienced the full consequences of what they have done, how much damage has been done. It may take months to see, or maybe a year. It may take a year or two to see the total result. But they have caused unnecessary economic devastation. And in those countries that don't have welfare or food stamps, you know, in third world, in Africa and Asia, there are people, small businesses, they have a little roadside stand and they have to shut down. They starve to death.
Right.
They're not getting, you know, unless there's some charity there, but basically many people, you are going to have starvation. So every mistake that Fauci has made has been in line with the global plan. People need to go to our website and read the 2010 Rockefeller plan. And in 2020, this year, they also talked about the contact tracing. Now, we're in a state of emergency. You may think everything's normal outside your door and you go to the store and the grocery store is still there. The hospitals are still there. This is an illusion. Things are not normal. Things are not normal. You do not have the freedom that you normally have.
Well,
now
you have to put a mask on, and people are living in fear now because you know, they're washing their hands, washing their groceries, and you know, not speaking to people. And what I noticed, because I, you know, dutifully put my mask on, is when I walk through the stores, the big box stores that are open, not the small family-owned ones, but the big ones. And
it doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
but you're walking around that way. And one of the things I noticed is I always smile at people because I talk to everybody. I don't meet strangers, and I talk to people. I don't care what their color, creed, sexual preference is. I don't care. I talk to everybody. I found that as I'm walking through the store, because I can't smile at people, and they don't see you. All you see is people's eyes, and everybody looks angry or everybody looks afraid, and it's making us be not sociable. And I don't think people, you know, realize that. But to me, it seems very evident that it's causing people to pull inward to themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't smile. They don't speak. You know, of course, you can't hear people so well with the mask on. But it is creating a very different world, and you're right. When we go back, we're not going back to where we came from. It will be different. It will be a reset.
Right. Well, we're not going. They will not allow us to go back to the normal. Now, after the 1918-1919 pandemic, people did go back to a normal. okay? And after other pandemics, they went back to a normal. Some people, you know, it's a terrible thing that people will die from any infection or epidemic, and we try to help those we can. But to say we can't have our constitutional freedoms, you know, people can't go to church, but they can riot in the streets, that's okay.
Right.
It,
yeah.
It is an obvious anti-Christian, anti-conservative conspiracy, and it's an open
attack.
Conspiracy.
It's an attack.
And, yes, it's an attack on our way of life.
Exactly.
And the national emergencies that have been declared around the world are all based on a fraud. So they're all unconstitutional. And basically, there will come a time when people realize that, you know, this is a real revolution, only it's a, maybe you would say, a peaceful revolution or a nonviolent revolution. You have violent rioters in the streets creating chaos, but there's a purpose behind that, too. But I want to get back to the idea. This national emergency is still in effect. The FEMA camps are for quarantine. When people came back from, you know, they were on some of the cruise ships, and some of them were Americans, and they came back to the United States. You may remember a few months ago.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They were sent to certain areas. These were quarantine locations. They were FEMA camps, okay? So there are places around the country that are already set up as quarantine centers. And the agenda of part of the Great Reset is for people to agree to be vaccinated. The vaccination has it's a micro array needle that will be pushed into the skin, and it imprints like a micro tattoo with dye inside that's readable like an RFID scanner. You know, when you go to the store, you can scan an item and see what the price is. Well, they could scan your shoulder, and they could see, oh, you've been vaccinated, okay? So they want the digital ID. There's an ID agenda, that digital ID agenda, that everyone in the whole world will have a digital ID. And when that's part of what is going on with the whole idea of contact tracing. Normally, contact tracing, you have, say, there's the first patient zero in an area, and you do contact tracing to find, oh, well, who did they come in contact with? We can isolate them and isolate whoever they were in contact with, and you can stop an outbreak if you do that at the very beginning. But this coronavirus is spread throughout the world, and so you cannot stop it. So contact tracing at this point is a deception. The purpose of contact tracing now, well, let's say somebody has an infection, and you're going to the store and you're traveling here and there. You may be in contact with hundreds of people and not really know it, but you're walking around the big box store. There are hundreds of people. And then those people are in touch with hundreds of people. So if they really contact trace the people who have been in touch with someone who is infected, they are going to contact trace everybody. And why would you do that? They are setting up a digital database. And if they say, well, you were in touch with someone, we have to test you for COVID-19. Okay, then they're going to take your blood sample. Okay, then they're going to have your DNA. It's going into a database. It's going to be a nationalized database of everybody's DNA. And also, the contact tracers this is already in place. They are being trained, and especially in California, they've already started some preliminary contact tracing. And they ask you, it's in the law. This is written into the law. They will ask you, who's in, you know, like the census, how many people are living here, what are their names, what are their phone numbers, everybody's phone number, what is everybody's email address, what is everybody's social media identity, or, you know, your ID at Facebook or Instagram or, Twitter, whatever.
And all that, right.
Yes, mm-hmm. They actually will gather all of that, and then they'll be looking at all of this information, and what they're going to look for is those people who are compliant, who say, oh, yes, I'll get the vaccine, and those people who are anti-vaxxers, they're not going to get the vaccine. They, under the national emergency, which through President Obama, President Bush beforehand, they have adjusted some of the National Defense Authorization Acts. These are very technical, but they've been in effect since the, you know, even the 1960s. President Kennedy signed one of these and began some of this FEMA or, you know, governmental organizations, but they are governmental powers that are delegated to not just the president and the Congress, but these agencies. And when there's an emergency, they have authority. So FEMA may be directing, okay, all the hospitals are under martial law. All nurses and doctors are under the military commander. If you're a licensed nurse, you have to go to the hospital and do whatever the commander says. You're part of the military now. All the farmers, you have to do what the United States Department of Agriculture says. All the pharmaceutical pharmacies and pharmaceutical industry and all of the other economy aspects of the economy, they're all under a type of martial law that can be done. They haven't done that yet in every aspect, okay? But just like Trump ordered the GM to create ventilators, for example,
right.
They could do that with every aspect of society and say you're all under martial law because of the National Emergency Declaration, or the governors can do that according to the state emergency. And then under the contact tracing, they can say, okay, you have tested positive and there's only one bathroom in your house. This is in the law, okay? I'm not making this stuff up. You can look it up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's one bathroom in the house, for example, and one person tests positive, but there's several other people in the house. They can say, we're going to take that infected person and send them to a quarantine center.
Isolation.
Or, yes. Or if there's two bathrooms, maybe that one person can go downstairs and live downstairs where there's a second bathroom. But if you cannot isolate from the others, they can forcibly come in. Just like a Child Protective Service or Adult Protective Service, they can come in and take you.
They can come in and take your children. When
yes.
I was looking at your website and reading on that, what you're talking about with the ICE, well, it was actually somebody has a very, very good YouTube on there, the lady
yes.
who did that, and she was
mm-hmm.
saying they can actually come in, if you have it, and take your child and say, you're isolated. We will put your child in a facility or a foster home.
Right.
Because
right.
your child cannot be in the house with you if you have tested
right.
positive for it. And I have
right.
friends that say, you know, well, the contact tracing, because they just added it to everybody's smartphone. If you
yes.
look, if you go under settings and then
yes.
look under Google Apps, everybody,
right.
all the smartphones have COVID-19.
Right.
So if you
right.
are around somebody who's got it, then immediately
right.
it is sent to the phone. I mean, to me, it sounds incredibly frightening, like Person of Interest series that we used to watch.
Okay, well, yeah.
But I've had friends
now,
that say, well, they're just yeah. trying to help protect us and let us know if we've come in contact with someone who has the virus. If
right,
you come in contact, you're
mm-hmm.
going to either get it or you're not.
Right. Well, what people have to come back to is this is a fraud. It's a deception. There is a virus. It was bioengineered. You can see the research that did it. Professor Francis Boyle, we have the video on our website. He explains three of the studies that show gain of function and how they created this. But I have a page that shows over a dozen research projects that were done to show how they created this virus. But the contact tracing through the phone, right now on the Android phones, for example, it is where you say it is under Google app. You go to settings, it's turned off, for example, on my phone, you would have to turn it on, or maybe they will remotely turn it on. Right now it's not on mine. I did check that. But they did install it with an update. So it is installed on everybody's phone. It's there, and people, listen, if this was not real, you know, the stuff I'm talking about, why would they install this contact tracing app on your phone? In China, every citizen is required to have a smartphone, okay? And that's how they know where everybody is, because the GPS, Global Positioning System, they can determine where everybody is and find you through your smartphone. And, you know,
it's
some people may...
It's frightening. We have 4 minutes. I should have scheduled us for 2 hours, Ron. We may have to get you back here, because I know we have not touched on everything. But I wanted you to go over the different things that you can do to build up your immune system. And you discussed two of them. You said vitamin D and vitamin C, but you had a list of them at your site. Can you touch on that?
Right. Well, at the top of our COVID-19 page, because there's a lot of stuff that people can do. One thing, you know, the basic thing is, if you're eating things that don't look like food that grew in the ground, in the earth, then you're probably harming your health. You've got to eat things.
You're talking about processed food and refined sugar.
Yes.
It's not good.
Yes. Avoid sugars. Get back to cooking basic food, because that promotes your immunity. It promotes your functioning of the immune system. Of course, vitamin C can be taken. There are doctors like Dr. Brownstein, Dr. Blaylock, and other doctors, even some hospitals, have put out information. Vitamin C, you know, some people say vitamin C upsets my system, but the doctors say that if you're actually infected, you can take higher doses of vitamin C and vitamin D. Liposomal vitamin C is the most absorbable if you can get it. Curcumin from turmeric is a cytokine storm inhibitor. The cytokine storm is what causes the damage in many organs. Zinc, you know, you don't want to go overdose on zinc. Everything in its normal amounts. Vitamin C and D can be high dose during an infection, they say. But zinc, you just take a normal. N-acetyl-L-cysteine is also something that's mentioned. Quercetin and resveratrol, grapeseed extract, apigenin. There are many different things. Green tea, EGCG from green tea extract. These things help to reduce the inflammation that causes the damage in your body.
And the other thing is staying hydrated. One of the ones that I was surprised to see was the ibuprofen and the acetaminophen, that you should avoid those.
And there are doctors who disagree about these things, but in general, even though Tylenol, acetaminophen can destroy your liver if you take it in high doses, or even in low doses, some people are harmed. Ibuprofen can cause the GI bleeds. I encourage people to go to our website, see the COVID-19 page. There are three specific articles about how to minimize the effects of COVID-19. And I also encourage them to read about deception in the cultures of death, which is specifically written to warn about what we're going through right now, because we are at a cliff, and the leaders around the world are intentionally driving our societies off a cliff because they want to do the global reset. And they control the banks. And because they can control the banks, they're going to go to a digital system where basically they control everything and they know all the transactions we're doing. And if we don't comply, well, it's a more totalitarian system, controlled by the elites. And it's not a joke. This is very real. And people need to wake up. If everybody went back to their normal businesses and refused to be locked down, we could stop this. You have to call their, you know, the cards, call them on it and say it's a hoax. It's a fraud because the death numbers are not there. The cases may be, you know, everybody eventually is going to get infected, but that's not the point. If you take the vitamin C and D and certain things that reduce inflammation, most people, even without that, are not going to get very sick. And the people who are dying are those who would normally die of the flu anyway, most of them.
You have given us a ton of information tonight, Ron. I appreciate you coming on. And to the listeners, please go to hospicepatients.org. There is a ton of information out there. And we might have to talk Ron into coming back because I know that I have a lot of things on the list, and they're so important that maybe we'll get him to come back. So, Ron, thank you so much for coming on tonight and giving us this important information. And everybody be safe. Please
thank you.
Educate yourself and go find this look at this information. It's all kept in there in one area, one website. It's got all this information.
Yeah, well, download it, copy it all, and share it with everybody you know.
Right. And good night, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Good night. Thank you, Ron.
You.
Thank you, Marty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.